This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A desperate search intensifies after weekend flooding outside Philadelphia.
The search will continue for the two children who are still missing. We have search teams that are assisting us from Delaware, New Jersey. We also have deployed K-9 units, underwater assets, air assets.
Fire Chief Tim Brewer, at least five deaths are blamed on the flooding. In the Golden State, CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti reports on the growing fire danger as sizzling temperatures continue to cause problems.
More than 8,000 acres in Southern California's Riverside County have been scorched after four wildfires exploded simultaneously. Fire crews are braving sweltering heat to control the flames.
We weren't under any red flag warnings, no Santa Anas, and it still burned 7,600 acres.
Excessive heat is blanketing 14 states from the West Coast to Florida, where officials in Miami issued the city's first ever excessive heat warning.
In the race for the White House, Republican Ron DeSantis has trimmed his campaign staff as figures show him trailing former President Trump in the money race. CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports Democrats have the overall edge.
President Biden and the Democrats are leading in the money race, and he's doing very well among wealthier donors who can max out to his campaign. Where there isn't as much support just yet, at least compared to past campaigns, is among those that give about $200 or less.
The U.S. has blasted Russia's decision to step away from a grain deal that allowed exports from Ukraine during the war. Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kubala, says it was on CBS Mornings, and he says,
Russia is using hunger as an instrument to blackmail the world, pursuing its own commercial interests.
Russia blames the West for a new attack on the bridge linking Ukraine with Crimea that's a key supply line for Moscow. A Grammy-winning superstar testifies at the sex abuse trial of Oscar-winning actor Kevin Spacey.
Elton John testified via video link from Monaco. One of Spacey's alleged victims accused Spacey of assaulting him as he drove the Oscar winner to John's annual white tie and tiara ball in either 2004 or 2005. But John and his husband, David Furnish, testified that Spacey only attended once in 2001. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Authorities say carnival rides were shut down at a festival in Antioch, Illinois, after a 10-year-old boy was thrown from his seat and seriously injured. The boy was riding Moby Dick, a ride that locks people in at the shoulders, then goes up and down as speed increases. Wall Street, right now the Dow is up 72 points, the S&P up 14, the NASDAQ up 104. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If this
were going
recent
on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard,
this is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Walmart is no longer selling Milwaukee Tool brand gloves. That's after allegations a subcontractor for the Brookfield-based tool company used forced prison labor in China to make some of its gloves. The move comes weeks after a Wisconsin Watch investigation found more evidence that prisoners were paid pennies to make Milwaukee Tool gloves. Two former prisoners tell Wisconsin Watch a supplier for Milwaukee Tool subcontracted the work to the prison. The Wisconsin Watch investigation prompted a bipartisan congressional investigation into Milwaukee Tool's supply chain practices. The head of Milwaukee's Election Commission says she met with federal investigators looking into the events after the 2020 election. Keith Schwaba reports.
Executive Director Claire Woodall Vogue is not sharing details of their conversation from May. The investigation centers on whether Trump's post-election strategy in Wisconsin broke any laws. Trump has claimed there were a substantial number of illegal votes in Milwaukee, but hasn't produced any evidence to back that up. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
The air quality in southern Wisconsin isn't getting any better. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources issued an advisory on Friday, which was supposed to expire yesterday. But the DNR says the air quality is still poor in Grant, Dane, Waukesha, and Milwaukee counties. The air quality index for all four counties is above 100. That means the air is unhealthy for people who are sensitive to smoke and other forms of air pollution. Business and education leaders are embracing diversity efforts, even as elected Republicans move to defund them. Tim Sheehy is president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. He says diversity efforts, otherwise known as DEI, are crucial to solving Wisconsin's workforce shortage.
We're not going to fill those jobs with the white population. It's not growing fast enough. So if that's what your workforce looks like, in the future it's going to look much differently. So how do we make sure that workplace is attractive to black, brown, and other people who are coming into the workforce in a much greater stead than they had been in the past?
Sheehy was on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. He says Republicans should let businesses and universities address DEI as they see fit. Wisconsin's 988 Suicide Prevention Hotline shattered expectations for its first year. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline launched July 16, 2022. In its first year, the program fielded over 72,000 calls, around 10,000 text messages, and about 9,000 online chats. According to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services Crisis Service Coordinator, that's up from around 35 to 40,000 calls per year. Previously, the Lifeline was a 10-digit number. The change came from a bipartisan effort led by U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Officials say 98% of calls to 988 were resolved through conversation, leading to less pressure on emergency services around the state. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
A teenage boy is saving several people's lives even after his own death. The family of 16-year-old Michael Schulz is donating his organs to at least seven other people, including his mother. Michael died after an accident at a sawmill in Florence, where he worked in northern Wisconsin, in June. His father tells Channel 2 in Green Bay that Michael's liver was an exact match with his mother, who needs a transplant. Michael appears to have been doing work allowed by Wisconsin child labor laws when he was fatally injured. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For St. Croix Country 95.7 FM WSEM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in St. Croix County. One person is dead after law enforcement tried to arrest them on Friday afternoon in Barron. The Wisconsin Department of Justice said the person was driving a vehicle trying to avoid being arrested when they crashed into another vehicle. When officers got to the vehicle, the person was dead inside of the vehicle with a gunshot wound. A gun was also found inside of the vehicle. No one from the Barron County Sheriff's Office or Barron Police Department fired their weapon or was hurt. The Department of Justice is investigating. No one is hurt after a fire at a home near Lake Wissota Monday morning. According to the Chippewa Fire District, officials said the fire happened on 52nd Avenue at around 5:30 this morning. The homeowners were able to get out of the building and weren't hurt, but the garage was destroyed and there was also a large amount of damage done to the home itself. The fire's cause is being investigated. A woman was sentenced for killing a man in a head-on crash after driving the wrong way on I-94 near Hudson last October. 32-year-old Amber Lee Pospisil of Alexandria, Minnesota, will serve 15 years in prison with 10 years of extended supervision after pleading no contest to homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle as part of a plea deal. That's according to online court records. Three other counts were dismissed but read in. Pospisil told investigators she had been drinking at a wedding in Wisconsin and was driving to a hotel in Hudson, but didn't remember driving the wrong way on the interstate. Police found an empty bottle of vodka in her vehicle, according to court records. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for help in finding stolen trout. The DNR said that someone stole rare-brood brown trout from the St. Croix Falls State Fish Hatchery on June 19th. Anybody that's got information about the case should call 1-800-TIP-WDNR or fill out the online contact form on the DNR's website. And after a warm week with some scattered storms and some rain, we'll have cooler temperatures today, but rain chances could return by midweek. We'll have more coming up next in weather. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A mix of sun and clouds today alongside a brisk breeze as winds whip out of the northwest, gusting up to 20 miles per hour. This, however, is to thank as it pushed the wildfire smoke out of the state and off to the Ohio Valley and East Coast today. These winds will also bring the northern half of Wisconsin into highs only reaching the mid to upper 60s. Meanwhile, the warmest temperatures in the state today will strike in the southern half, with highs in the low to mid 70s. These temperatures may seem quite crisp for mid-July, but they are actually on par and hit our average highs for this time of year. By this afternoon, an isolated thunderstorm or two is possible across the far north and may linger into early this evening. Any thunderstorm that does develop is not expected to be severe. Tonight, lows will drop to the low 50s in the Northwoods and mid-60s in Milwaukee and Madison. Have a marvelous Monday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers sweep the Reds. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers won 3 in a row over the weekend in Cincinnati, beating the Reds yesterday at Great American Ballpark. Top of the 8th, tied 3-3. The Brewers' Tyrod Taylor on 2nd, and Milwaukee's Andrew Monasterio at the plate, looking at a 2-2 pitch. The call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
And now here's Monasterio. A hit here would likely mean the Brewers would take the lead.
Monasterio towards right field. It is down in front of Fraley. Here comes Taylor. The throw, not in time. Monasterio to second, and the Brewers have the lead.
So the Brewers get the win 4-3, their fourth in a row over the Reds, going back to before the All-Star break. Relief pitcher Hobie Milner earning the win.
Everybody pitched well this series, especially with how hot their offense has been. Like, they've been one of the best offenses in baseball the past like month. So it's good to see us come in and shut them down and kind of like slow their roll, and hopefully we start a little slump for them. That'd be nice.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
You know, we went for Hobie, and we had the first three hitters of the eighth, and just to get all three out and to have a crisp inning there was really impressive, and just, you know, extends a string of just great performances from the guys down there. So, you know, that wasn't thinking Hobie for two innings when he entered the game, you know, thinking we're going to have to get outs in the eighth with somebody who normally doesn't do it. Hobie did a heck of a job with it.
The Reds manager David Bell ejected early in the game, so the Brewers now back on top of the NL Central with a 2-game lead over the Reds. They open a series tomorrow in Philadelphia against the Phillies. And the Brewers' Rowdy Tellez out for 4 weeks now following surgery. Counsell says that Tellez was going half speed, shagging balls in center field during batting practice when he got his left ring finger caught in the wall padding, pulling a fingernail off, suffering a slight bone fracture, 17 stitches. NBA, the Bucks losing their final three games of the Summer League with a 92-84 loss to the Kings. But rookie Chris Livingston with another good showing, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Chris, he's one of those guys that he fits what we're trying to do. You know, he's athletic, he's strong, he could do so much.
Golf, Steve Stricker wins the Kolek Championship at Firestone in Akron, Ohio by 3 strokes. It's Stricker's third majors win this year on the PGA Champions Tour. NFL, DeAndre Hopkins is headed to Tennessee. The former Arizona Cardinals wide receiver has signed a 2-year deal with the Titans worth $26 million, where he'll be catching passes from Ryan Tannehill. Hopkins is 31 years old. Aaron Rodgers at the American Century Championship Golf Tournament at Lake Tahoe, Nevada, was asked about the New York Jets being featured on this summer's HBO's Hard Knocks. Rodgers says the only thing he's interested in is maybe meeting the narrator, actor Liev Schreiber.
One of the only things I like about Hard Knocks is the voice of God who narrates it, Liev. I hope I get to meet him. But look, you know, I understand the appeal with us. Obviously, there's a lot of eyes on me, a lot of eyes on our team, a lot of expectations for our squad. So they force it down our throats, and we got to deal with it.
That's Aaron Rodgers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Sunshine through the afternoon and a pleasant day with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the low 50s, and more sun for tomorrow and warmer. Highs around 80 degrees. Chance of showers and thunderstorms around for Tuesday night and Wednesday. High on Wednesday near 85. It's 69 degrees right now.
your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome one, welcome all. This is Town Call. We're testing out some new things, broadcasting live from the new Civic Media World headquarters on State Street. I am Luke Mathers, and I am joined with me on the literal phone lines today for Town Call, at least the first segment. I got William Walter. Will, how we doing on this Monday afternoon?
You know, Luke, I've been wanting to give you the opportunity to test the intro for quite some time, just to see how it flows.
Hey, man.
If the vibes feel good, and it was good. You did well.
When you were out in the desert, I did it, all the shows we did while you were gone in Arizona, or in Las Vegas. So I know how to do it. I've had some practice. I got the opportunity.
Oh, you had not requested to be able to use my intro. I did not know that that's how we do things around here. I thought we shared the credit. You're always demanding I give you credit when you come up with things such as, well, I mean, that was my idea, but the headline of the day and all that type of things. Like,
as you try to sneak that in, the most Wisconsin headline.
I thought it was.
I'm on a little bit of a high from last week, Friday, when I won, again, the most Wisconsin headline of the week. Folks, if you want to share and participate in today's Town Call, 844-967-2789. We're going to be talking elections. We want to hear your thoughts on the elections here in Wisconsin. And again, you may be like, Luke, Will, it's July of an off year. What are you talking about elections? Well, it's election day in Wisconsin tomorrow in the State Assembly District 24 in your neck of the woods, Will. And there's a number of headlines talking about elections here in Wisconsin. So let's dive into them, Will.
Well, as you mentioned, Luke, let's start local. And my literal assembly district, a race that I've been following very closely, that I've been spending a lot of time trying to work within. Because, you know, as we talk about frequently, all politics are local. The big federal races are, you know, the sexy ones. They get all the coverage. They get all the attention. They get a lot of the focus. But in reality, who represents you at the local level is going to impact your daily life significantly more than any federal race possibly could. And in the 24th AD, which includes Germantown, Grafton, Menominee Falls, Mequon, many of the northern suburbs of Milwaukee, we do in fact have a special election, as I've been referring to it as, because in November, the 24th Assembly District election went to Dan Knodel. He won re-election. He then decided to run for the open state Senate 8th District seat that was vacated by Alberta Darling. Again, that is my state Senate seat. She had been the only senator for my entire life as she was elected in 1992. This would be the first opportunity to have another state senator for me. And Dan Knodel won that race, defeating Jody Habersinnikin by 1,296 votes, which means that special election left open the 24th Assembly District once again for our special squared election, which is coming tomorrow, July 18th. If you're in the 24th Assembly District, make sure you get out and vote. It's unfortunate, but, you know, very few people, I think, even know this race is going on. And it's antithetical to democracy to expect to elect someone with such low turnout. But that's the way that the cookie crumbles. And make sure your voice is heard. Get out there.
Yeah, and that special election, again, taking place in the 24th Assembly District tomorrow. So if that is where you live, in portions of Ozaukee County, Washington, and Waukesha counties, all three of those counties represented in the 24th Assembly District, make sure to make a plan and be voters in the 24th AD tomorrow, Tuesday, July 18th.
Just to reiterate, too, Luke, the candidates will be Mr. Bob Patterson of Mequon, and Paul Melodic of Grafton.
There you go. And so that's not the only election headline, though, in the news today, Will. We've also got some rumblings. So over the weekend, we're finding out about election officials that have been sitting down with federal investigators when it comes to the plot to overturn the 2020 election here in Wisconsin. And this one kind of raised my eyebrows, at least, because for some time, there have been questions, Will, about whether or not there was going to be accountability for the coordinated effort to try to overturn Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes in 2020. Again, for those who weren't paying attention to that race, Joe Biden won the state by around 21,000 votes. But the former guy, former President Donald Trump, claimed that the election was stolen, that there was recounted. He paid for a recount. There were partial recounts in Madison and Milwaukee. There was an independent review by the Legislative Audit Bureau. And the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, one of the conservative outlets here in Wisconsin, all concluded, all of those reviews, recounts, that the election results were upheld. Joe Biden won the state of Wisconsin in 2020 and its 10 electoral votes, but still there were efforts to try to send fraudulent electors to the vice president and Congress on January 6th, ultimately leading to that violence that we saw at the Capitol insurrection. And now the top election official in Milwaukee has confirmed that she has, in recent weeks or months, we don't know the exact date, she only confirmed that she sat down for an interview, but sitting down with federal investigators in the special counsel probe, Will, surrounding this election plot to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Your thoughts on the chief election officer in Milwaukee, Claire Woodall-Vogue, confirming that she sat down with Jack Smith's team.
Well, as you noted, Luke, and we're reading over from a piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Election Commission Executive Director Claire Woodall-Vogue confirmed an ABC News report that she had been interviewed, saying, quote, "I can confirm, but not really provide anything else. Interview was in May and was virtual," unquote. The probe is being conducted by longtime federal prosecutor Jack Smith, who was tapped by Attorney General Merrick Garland to act as special counsel. As you noted, Luke, Donald Trump lost Wisconsin by about 21,000 votes in 2020, but has continuously sought to undermine election results, including pushing conspiracy theories about the race. The outcome has been confirmed by multiple recounts, Milwaukee County court rulings, a nonpartisan state audit, a study by a prominent conservative group. You touched on it. Everybody and their mother has recounted this election, and the results have been the same time and time again. If you recall, in a nationally televised town hall event hosted and aired by CNN in May, Trump falsely claimed that voters in Milwaukee, quote, cast so many illegal votes they didn't know what to do with them, unquote. It's 2023, Luke. We're almost a year. And come November, we will be less than one. We'll be at 12 months away from the 2024 presidential election, and we are still having this conversation. It's ridiculous, frankly, and I recognize the humor in me sitting here and making these jokes when every Friday and I lose Wisconsin headlines, I demand a recount. But that's why I do it, because we're like making fun of how erroneous this behavior is and how kind of sad it is this long after the fact to be continuing this effort to undermine American democracy. And in the state of Wisconsin, you know, we had a number of issues ourselves, including the Michael Gableman probe that we spent almost $2 million of taxpayer money on.
I believe it's over $2 million now, Will.
Over $2 million, excuse me. Oh, geez. Somebody give me $2 million if you're going to be throwing that kind of money around all willy-nilly. I'll take it. But we have kind of been at the forefront of this movement, and it's ridiculous. We need to move on. We need to get back to our lives, and we need to focus on building the kind of strong grassroots progressive movements that I think will really make a difference in the United States, instead of relitigating these old elections cycle after cycle after cycle.
We want to hear your thoughts. Do you believe it's normal to be talking this much about elections at this time of the year? Again, it's July of an off year. Is this just the new normal where when you lose, we're going to be talking about it for attempts to overturn the results? Or before you know it, Will, we're going to be talking about 2024 because the voters are going to be beginning in middle of January caucusing in the Republican primary to determine who will go up against incumbent President Joe Biden. And it will be interesting to see. But is it normal for us to be talking in July of an off year this much about elections? Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. An Even better, if you download the Civic Media app on your smartphone device, you can interact with the show right from the app. You can call, you can text, and you can interact. Let us know what you think about, is this a new normal, or is this how it's always been? 844-967-2789, because Woodall Vogue is not the only election official, Will, that is now talking with federal authorities about the 2020 election, it seems. We've got another piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talking about how the Madison chief clerk, the top election official in Madison, also looking to sit down with federal prosecutors. This one, the FBI, reading from the piece, Madison election clerk interviewed by FBI about 2020 election, written up earlier today by Molly Beck over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The top election official in Wisconsin's capital city was interviewed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation in recent weeks about the 2020 presidential election. Madison clerk Maribeth Witzel-Bell is the at least the second election official in Wisconsin to be questioned about the election by federal authorities as efforts by former President Donald Trump and his allies to subvert the election outcome continue to be scrutinized. So we're this far out now. It is, we've been talking about, will there be accountability? And it seems like federal prosecutors are beginning to have the, at least the fact-finding interviews with these election officials about the efforts to overturn the election results here in Wisconsin back in 2020.
I've already noted on my calendar that next March, I'm going to make a big, big scene about the June 9th best headline of the week race, because I think that was very, very unfairly judged, and I need to have somebody come back and take a look at this. Again, Luke, move on. Is this going to happen every election cycle? How many times does this need to be confirmed that Joe Biden won the state of Wisconsin and Joe Biden won the Electoral College and is the current sitting president? How many times are we going to have to keep having this conversation? How long is this going to go on? Is it going to happen every cycle now from here until the end of time, where the candidate that does not win is takes it to federal court and goes out of their way to try to relitigate this issue time and time again? I do think what's interesting is the second piece you noted on the Madison election clerk being interviewed by the FBI talks specifically about the Michael Gableman effort and how it resulted in more than $1 million in costs paid by taxpayers, as well as a steady drumbeat of explosive court hearings, rulings, and lawsuits over his desire to jail election officials, right? So that's taken the next step, where he was threatening the individuals who are working with the state of Wisconsin to protect and defend our democracy, as well as mayors who refused to be interviewed behind closed doors, and his decision to ignore requests from the public for records related to his probe. This, I don't even know where to begin, Luke, because the probe was fraught with mishaps, a botched deposition after the attorney tasked with conducting an interview with a local official subpoenaed by Gableman was not licensed to practice law in Wisconsin. Gableman was frequently at the center of controversy, making misogynistic comments about women he saw as adversaries. And still, despite all of this, there were no tangible results of the review. However, it boosted Trump's accusations of widespread fraud occurring in Wisconsin's 2020 election. So we're going to continue talking elections. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. It's Monday. We got Luke and I here, and we're having a ball. See you right after the break.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News brief. An intense search is on outside Philadelphia for two kids missing after deadly flooding. Fire Chief Tim Brewer.
Today, the search will continue for the two children who are still missing. We will use and continue the use of drones in the area.
It'll be another day above 110 degrees in the Phoenix area. It's been like that for more than 2 weeks. This man tried to cool off at a water park.
It's like very dry heat. If you ever like stood next to an oven while you're baking something, it's like that, but like
It's coming from every direction, and you can't escape it.
The heat has increased the California fire danger. The U.S. condemns Russia for backing away from a grain agreement that allowed safe shipments to leave Ukraine. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The end of this deal for now could have an impact on hunger worldwide and food prices, pushing more into poverty. The war in Ukraine sent food commodity prices soaring to record highs last year.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For 105.7 CFW and 93.5 The Tap, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. One person is dead after law enforcement tried to arrest them on Friday afternoon in Barron. The Wisconsin Department of Justice said the person was driving a vehicle trying to avoid being arrested when they crashed into another vehicle. When officers got to the vehicle, the person was dead in the vehicle with a gunshot wound. A gun was found inside of the vehicle. No one from the Barron County Sheriff's Office or Barron Police Department fired their weapons or was hurt. The Department of Justice is investigating. Officials are still counting the totals, but organizers of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair say this year had record attendance. That's thanks in part to sellout shows for Nelly and Styx over the weekend, which brought in the highest single-day totals in the fair's history. The previous record was about 114,000. And the Wisconsin DNR is looking for help in finding stolen trout. The DNR said in a tweet that someone took rare brood brown trout from the St. Croix Falls State Fish Hatchery on June 19th. Anyone with information should call 1-800-TIP-WDNR. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley, 93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We are talking elections in Wisconsin, a never-ending cycle, it seems, because even in July, we have a special, special election coming up tomorrow. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Luke, we were talking before the break about former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, and I noted from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel piece that he was the center of a number of controversies over his time in the spotlight by making misogynistic comments about women that he saw as adversaries. I want to note a little bit of a reminder for you, Luke, and for the listening audience that June 15th of 2022, so north of a year ago now, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel also had a piece noting that former Supreme Court Michael Justice should face discipline after his misogynistic comments. ordered by a judge in Dane County. He berated the judge and a female attorney in Friday's court hearings while refusing to answer their questions about his handling of public records requests. Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington issued a scathing rebuke of Gableman's behavior in his order to fine Gableman $2,000 per day until he proves to the court and attorneys representing American Oversight that he has produced all records the group has requested related to his taxpayer-funded review of the 2020 election. And a number of these comments, Luke, it kind of goes back to an issue that we touched on a few weeks ago revolving around Megan Wolf, who is the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the highest...
The administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
She has done a fabulous job and is revered by those around the nation who do similar work. And I'm reading over from a piece at the Wisconsin Examiner. The future of free and fair elections in Wisconsin could hinge on the fate of Megan Wolf, a commentary piece written up by Jay Heck, noting that the results of the partisan-appointed WEC, which was devised and set up with only Republican input and support, with no buy-in or even consultation from nonpartisan organizations, has resulted in this almost scapegoating of Megan Wolf for not going along with the Republican consensus that the election was fraudulent. And election deniers have spurred this narrative both at the state and national level, driven primarily by Donald Trump's actions, of course. But in the state of Wisconsin, Michael Gableman as well. Luke, where do we go from here? These elections, in order to be legitimate, need to be recognized by the voting population as free and fair. It has been proven time and time again that our state elections were both free and fair, yet a significant subset of the population refuses to accept that. How do we move on?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see the next step of where we go from here is whether or not there is a court challenge over how the reappointment process of Megan Wolf has gone. Because, again, before the 4th of July, at the end of June, right before her term was set to expire on July 1, the Wisconsin Elections Commission decided to take a vote, and the three Republican-appointed members of that commission voted to reappoint her, to send her to Senate confirmation, and the three Democratic appointees to the Wisconsin Elections Commission voted to abstain. They did not vote at all. And it was seen as more of a strategic move by individuals watching that vote because it was probably fairly likely. It's important to point out that throughout 2022, very few Senate confirmation hearings actually took place here in Wisconsin. The Evers administration waiting on hundreds of appointees to be taken up by the state Senate. But it was probably likely that Megan Wolf's reappointment hearing would have gone to the state Senate. She is qualified, as we've pointed out. We've been joined by guests like Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, now since retired. But talking about the qualifications that Megan Wolf brings to that position, we've discussed how election administrators around the country applaud her for being one of the top election officials in the nation. And so it could have been a 6-0 confirmation, but then shot down in the state Senate if Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux decided to actually, unlike he did all throughout 2022, hold a confirmation hearing for Megan Wolf. And so the three Democratic-leaning members, the Democratic-appointed members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, voted to abstain, and without four votes, any nomination from the WEC can't go before the state Senate. But in the middle of the night, relatively early, actually, for standards, what we've seen out of the state capitol in recent years. But after...
And they had to get home for dinner still, Luke. That's early, early for them.
That's the time that you like to be active, Will, throughout the day. But about a 10:30 vote after approving the state budget in the state Senate, the state senators, the Republican-led majority, decided to take up a resolution saying, well, they consider the 3-0-3, if you want to count it, like there was three yay votes, no nay votes, and three abstentions. They considered that vote a renomination to be the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator. But state law clearly states that it needs to be four votes. It needs to be a supermajority. It needs to be four out of the six votes to be able to send on for confirmation. So this is going to go before a lawsuit. And it will be interesting to see how it works its way through the Wisconsin courts. But not undermining our election officials that are nationally renowned for their job. And after we've recounted, audited, and reviewed the 2020 election, there were no such concerns in 2022. I don't know if it's that Tim Michaels just doesn't have as big of fans or what, but there's no Tim Michaels supporters that are saying, hey, this election was stolen from us. It seems to be solely surrounding one candidate, and that would be former President Donald Trump. And they undermined election officials. They criticized the absentee ballot process throughout the 2020 election, which a lot of election administrators turned to without guidance from state lawmakers. The state legislature could have convened in 2020 and said, hey, this is how we do it, but they didn't. And so the Wisconsin Elections Commission at the time, 6-0, all three Republican, all three Democratic appointees in 2020, saying, yes, we're going to confirm this guidance on absentee ballot. And then when former President Donald Trump lost the state, and only then is when there became problems with the way that the election was conducted. And so I don't know how we can necessarily restore the faith and credit into our elections. It seems like the individuals that have been responsible for claiming foul when there are no fouls there, they bear the responsibility of figuring out how to restore. Because you can't say, you can't cry wolf. You can't say the Wisconsin elections were stolen and then continue to say it. And continue to say it. And as you pointed out, spend more than $2 million for Michael Gableman to go look and find the fraud. And it's not there. Because now there are voters out there that believe there's some there when there isn't. And so I think there's a lot of onus on the individuals that were spreading those theories, those unfounded theories, to try to come up with a way to restore integrity. But at the same time, Will, I don't know if those individuals want to restore integrity.
I think that's what's noteworthy is, yes, there's an agenda behind the madness. And if I had to, I'm not a gambling man, as we discussed from my recent trip out west. But if I were, I think that would be the most likely scenario and the most likely outcome going forward as to why this has been so aggressively done in this matter. I do want to note as well, Luke, quick, that remember that as the WEC administrator, Megan Wolf does not make any policy or operational decisions. She simply executes the decisions and will of the six appointed WEC commissioners. She has no authority or vote on the commission to determine the actions taken by the WEC. Every decision is based on a majority vote of the commissioners, as was determined when the WEC was established. Megan Wolf serves at the pleasure of the WEC commissioners.
Yeah, and again, as you pointed out earlier, it was by design created that way. It was designed by Republican lawmakers in 2015 to be just that. And so Megan Wolf doing the absolute best that she can in the circumstances provided to her. But there is interestingly a proposal, Will, at least a proposal, to try to say, hey, maybe this is something, it's an idea at least, to restore integrity in our elections. And this one, again, over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, jumping back over there from our friends over at the Wisconsin Examiner, now to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, headline, GOP lawmakers introduce bill to add watermarks to absentee ballots. Clerks say it would create problems. So it's at least an idea. We can discuss the idea now. So let's dive into this piece, Will.
Please, let's do so. Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill that would require watermarks on absentee ballots. Election clerks say the measure could create more problems while solving none. The measure, written by Rep. Scott Allen of Waukesha and Senator Romaine Quinn of Cameron, would require absentee ballots that are mailed to voters to, quote, contain a watermark that identifies the ballot as an official absentee ballot, unquote, to help curb public distrust in absentee ballots, it is certainly worth the additional cost to make our absentee ballots secure and restore trust in our election process, according to Rep. Scott Allen. Now, this was done in response to former President Donald Trump's false claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. As we have been noting throughout the show, Republicans have focused on absentee ballot security in past legislative sessions, but multiple election reviews, including one by a conservative group, have proven that voter fraud is exceptionally, exceptionally rare. A spokesman for the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which provides guidance to clerks across the state, did not respond to a request for comment on the bill. However, Diane Conan, the clerk for the city of Oconomowoc and the chairwoman of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association, said the organization does not support the bill. Quote, "We do not see a problem that needs to be fixed, nor do we see anything substantive that a watermark will fix," unquote. The legislation to us is really addressing what we see as mistrust in people's minds.
So maybe, I mean, that maybe this would provide a little bit more certainty to the individuals that believe there was some malfeasance in the 2020 election. I think something that could be far less costly and we could do with the snap of fingers, say, hey, maybe the individual saying that there was widespread fraud without being able to substantiate any of it, maybe if they just stopped saying that, that would be able to stop and restore that integrity back to our elections even faster than a watermark on an absentee ballot could, Will.
Well, and, you know, Luke, I'm a big defender of the people who are experts doing the work day to day are more likely to be more knowledgeable about the process than the elected officials in Madison, correct? And clerks, again, the people who are running our elections, have noted that watermarks would pose additional challenges, including deciding how many watermarked absentee ballots to purchase and ensuring that the machines could even count the ballots accurately. The fundamental base requirement of an election machine, which would be counting the ballots accurately, we cannot confirm that this would be possible with the additional watermark. Clerks have to decide how many absentee versus regular ballots to order, as extra watermarked ballots could not be used on election day anyways. Quote, "Not only would it create a balancing problem at the poll, it would cause recount problems and audit problems if we tried to use those watermarked ballots. We would probably have to up our orders, which costs the taxpayers even more because we would need to have more ballots." Unquote. And Conan added that machine manufacturers would have to make sure voting equipment could be read, could read the watermarked absentee ballots. The equipment might need to get tested and recertified, which costs additional money. We're just throwing more and more and more money at these false election, at the false election scandal ideas that, dude, this is taxpayer money. Come on. Come on. I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to add to this.
Yeah, folks, if you've got an idea or thoughts about the watermark ballots or just the whether or not this is the new normal, that we're talking about elections in July of an off year, here in July of 2023, we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can chime in. We got one more segment left in the day today. And it's baffling to me, Will, that we are talking about elections this much from 3 years ago. 3 years ago's elections, still now, before jumping into another presidential election coming up next year. Do you believe this is the new normal? Is this just what we need to expect going forward? We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call. 844-967-2789. Town Call is going to be right back.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded.
These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5, The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Sunshine through the afternoon and a pleasant day with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the low 50s, and more sun for tomorrow and warmer. Highs around 80 degrees. Chance of showers and thunderstorms around for Tuesday night and Wednesday. High on Wednesday near 85. It's 67 right now.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
I can't get a hold of myself, breaking all the rules, playing games with my hell. My love said I've gone off the rails.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Luke, we have become that which we despise. We are still talking elections nearly 3 years after the fact. We can joke about it throughout the show, but here we are doing it and talking the watermark bill. Introduced last year, but did not receive a hearing. Senator Dan Knodel, who chairs the Senate Committee on Elections, did not say whether he would hold a hearing on the measure. But I do want to note that the chair of the election committees on the assembly side, which is Representative Scott Krug, said last month he wants
Scott Krug.
Scott Krug. My apologies, Mr. Krug, said last month that he wants. I can at least get Dan Knodel because that's my rep.
Yeah, there you go. You got one out of the 99, right?
One out of the no, he's a 132. Senator now.
Well, and now yes, true. One out of the 32. 132.
Rep Scott Krug said last month that he wants his committee to start his work by holding hearings for bills that have bipartisan support. One of those bills would require military voters to provide their Department of Defense number when requesting an absentee ballot. Now, Diane Conan did say that she supports that measure, explaining she does not see providing an identification number as a, quote, hardship or an issue, and it does add another level of security, unquote. So security clerks around the state do have interest in providing additional security for our elections as long as it does not provide additional hardships or make it more difficult to execute our elections. We have seen this time and time again. Good ideas will be listened to and will be pushed forward as long as they are not making it more difficult on both the citizens of Wisconsin to be able to properly vote and on the system itself to properly maintain our elections, Luke.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about this because this watermark bill is being discussed. We're also talking about it because the top election officials in at least Madison and Milwaukee confirming that they've sat down in recent weeks and months with the federal prosecutors looking into the plot to overturn the 2020 election here in Wisconsin. Is this the new normal? Do you believe that this we're just going to be talking about some elections in perpetuity, just for forever, until they get resolved? We'll see. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You could be like Jim in Appleton. Jim, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Hey, guys. I am way more confident in the 2020 election than I was the 2016 election. That thing has been analyzed to death. And watermark? The only thing that's even close to practical is putting watermarks on every ballot. Not sure if that's a good solution or not, but that's all I've got.
We appreciate the phone call, Jim. And what do you mean that you got less faith in the 2016 election? What specifically about 2016 do you have less faith in than the 2020 election?
There have been multiple investigations that have proved Russian collusion, along with some of the other far right wing mega donors being, shall we say, bad actors on social media, and I just don't. Hillary won the popular vote. Trump got all of the votes in
the Electoral College.
I can't think of the name right now. Yeah, that's the one. I'm trying to get rid of that. It proved in 2016 that the purpose that the founding fathers intended for it, they did not do. So, since they won't do what they were designed to do, what do we need them for?
Interesting points, Jim. And so I think that gets back to, are we just going to be talking about elections in perpetuity?
Forever.
Are we going to be talking about 2016, 2020? Is it next going to be 2024? It's to be determined, Will, because it seems like there are...
To be fair, we do still talk about 2000 as well.
Yeah, that one a large one, and that one came back up in a footnote of a Supreme Court decision at the end of this most recent term as well. So yeah, you're right. There are just some elections that we don't stop talking about. We appreciate your phone call, Jim. You could be like Jim, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Only got a couple minutes left here in today's town call. But again, the headlines coming out this weekend, the top election officials in Milwaukee and Madison sitting down with federal prosecutors. Seems like there's at least a suggestion. There's an idea for a really long time all throughout 2022. Republican lawmakers didn't come up with any ideas. They did not share anything. They were out of legislative session from April through December of last year. And so there are some ideas coming. It's important to discuss. As Will, you pointed out from the piece, there are opposition for a watermark on absentee ballots because of the burden that it would cause our election administrators. But I don't know.
The financial burden on the taxpayers.
That too. And I don't know what the right answer is to restore faith in elections, but it seems like at least there's an effort put forth now to try to come up with some solutions. I don't know if they're necessarily the right solutions, but it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on in that space, Will.
Yeah, agreed, Luke. And we will. We will be here, Town Call. We'll be covering it day in and day out. But Luke, I want to end on I was going to say fun story, but I don't think it's fun. I think it's actually the opposite of fun. A little piece I found online this morning. Tourists are flocking to Death Valley to experience possible world record heat of 55 degrees Celsius. That is 131 degrees Fahrenheit, Luke. I have no interest in this. Who is doing this?
See,
who wants
I thought
to
you were
do that for fun.
I thought since you weren't the gambling type when you went to Vegas, that was kind of more your vibe, the Burning Man vibe. I thought this would be right up your alley, Will.
It was like mid-90s at 2 in the morning, and even that I was like, dude, no, I need to go home. I can't deal with this. I'm a Wisconsin boy. See, when it's cold, you can always bundle up, right? You can always add additional layers. Can't do that so much when it starts to hit 130 degrees.
Not as socially acceptable to start shedding those layers at that point.
I'll peel back like two layers of skin and just roll with whatever my third layer of skin is.
Well, Will, you know, one thing that you could say that is fun as well. You can now, you and I officially can say we were the first Civic Media product to broadcast live out of the brand new headquarters here on State Street. So we get that and nobody else does. Thank you very much, Aaron. I think Aaron can hear us. I believe we've got everything connected.
Yes, I can hear you.
Here.
You can hear me. We're all good.
Perfect. Aaron's been working marvelously behind the scenes, making sure all the ones and twos are going out properly. I want to thank Corey and the entire engineering team as well. But Will, Town Call, the first product to broadcast live out of the new Civic Media World Headquarters here on State Street.
Well done, Town Call. Thank you to everybody who was here today on this momentous day. We will be talking about this at least 3 or 4 years from now when I'm
We'll figure out a plaque or something. We can get a plaque for Town Call and say that we were the first ones to broadcast. I'll find a corner in the studio that we can hang it up in, but it'll be something we'll brag about for years to come. Folks, thanks so much.
Some of the other shows start complaining and saying, no, we were the first ones.
Well, we've got it on the record. Folks, thanks so much for tuning in for Town Call today. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese. And the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.